Hey, everybody. It's episode 500 of PodQuest.
Hey.
Rich, you come on now. Drew came in here with the bam. You came in here with the hey.
You know, here's the thing. Drew seemed so overly excited, and I didn't realize that it was actually episode 500, even though you said 500, because I'm still sort of fighting a cold, so...
And you're logged into the document with your cursor on the line that says episode 500.
I'm just gonna screenshot my entire window to show you what it looks like right now, so that it's easier, because this is no lie what I'm seeing on that screen.
But yeah, I'm Chris. With me is Druten.
Hello.
And the melancholy walnut.
Look, I'm just congested still.
Now I get it. Are you sure it's a cold and not allergies? Because I noticed like my allergies were starting a little bit today.
It started kicking on Sunday or Saturday night.
Okay, so it's been a yeah.
It's either from being out in the cold on Saturday, going to my niece's soccer game, or potentially I caught something from Thursday when I had my procedure, which who knows. But that's too long between Thursday and Saturday night. In my opinion, it would have been too long. I didn't do any sort of test or anything because it was like one day was really bad and it wasn't even that bad. I'm fine. So it's just I'm congested and not happy about being congested again. This is like the second time in like a month and a half.
Have you thought about not getting sick?
It's a good idea.
I've tried. Here's the thing. I used to never get sick. Back when I was a wee lad, I'd work at the McDonald's. I'd work all the time, and I would never get sick. Maybe like one good sick a year. And now I'm just like it's constant. It's constant. It's called age.
I hate your screen layout.
Why?
Do you have just a whole empty screen too?
Usually I might have streamers or something on there right now. But yeah, right now, yeah, there's an empty screen.
Oh God.
Why? Why do you hate it?
It's so crowded.
It's not. It has everything I need to look at on the screen that I'm looking at.
I have everything spread across three large monitors.
Why?
Because I like it that way.
But why do you need... You then need to look at multiple monitors.
Not really. I mean...
I have... And here's the thing. The other screen, if I have to research something, I have to look something up, I pop over and use that to look something up. This is just, boom, everything... Discord and everything else, it's all right there, and I can make sure that Audacity's recording, I can make sure Discord is good, and I can make sure that I'm keeping track on whatever we're talking about, and if I need to jump over and research something or look up something, I will. It's efficiency. You don't need three monitors when you can do it all on one.
You don't need three monitors.
I mean, you can do it all on one, so why do you need three monitors?
Because I don't like having things cluttered like that. I want everything spread out.
This is literally how my work monitors look.
I hate it.
It's half of the screen is our main application, and then the other half, the top quarter, is like the spreadsheet I'm working out of. The bottom quarter is another program that we need, where when I open it, it opens a new window, which that new window then goes into the other monitor. And then the other monitor, half of it is Teams. The other half is whatever I'm working on.
I'm looking at. I've got this Discord in on the left-hand side, because I don't really have to look at that. That's unimportant. Like, as long as I can hear you guys, I know everything's okay over there.
Mm-hmm.
I've got the screen right in front of me has the outline on it. And I do have that split side by side. It's the outline and then the timestamp doc that I keep. And then the right-hand monitor is Audacity.
See, here's the thing. If I had another doc, like if I were keeping that timestamp doc, it would be quartered on my screen, and Discord would be on a quarter, and the doc would be on a quarter.
Yeah, no, I don't like it. I like having things. I also don't window things. Everything's always full screen for me. I don't like windowed mode on anything.
You're weird. But you also complain about the fact that I have icons.
Yeah, I mean, you have icons on your desktop, like some sort of sociopath.
Who doesn't use icons? Like, you're the only person I know who doesn't use an icon.
That's the only icon I have.
Did you send a message?
Yeah, in the Discord chat. The only icon I have on my computer is the recycle bin, which I actually have to empty. I'm glad I minimized to my desktop so I could see I had something in there.
And then you got me, which has I'm not going to screenshot both monitors now. I'm just going to do the one. Then you have me. He only has the recycle bin. If he didn't already say it, I think he said it.
I did
and
say
I it. Have a bunch of icons of things that I actively use.
That is all chaos. Also, get rid of McAfee. What are you doing over there?
It's just on there. I don't pay for it or anything, but it does check it.
I mean, the thing is, like, I don't go to the desktop. Like, I don't know what was in my recycle bin. It's probably been there for months.
I mean, the recycle bin should automatically delete after a month.
It doesn't.
No, it doesn't. You're right. It should. It doesn't. If you put something in a recycle bin, it means you're deleting it. It should automatically.
Yeah, no. But you have no idea how often people are just like, my computer's out of space. I'm like, okay, let's empty your recycle bin. And they click empty, and suddenly they have 400 gigs free.
Jeez.
Which, you know, let's see. No, I recently emptied my recycle bin. But I'm constantly low on space. I need to clean out videos.
Yeah, I keep everything in Dropbox. I have I'll call them archive folders that don't sync to any devices that I just drag stuff into. From the web version. Like I'll drag like all of the episodes of PodQuest into it. And then like after, you know, I don't know, every so often I go through and delete like the oldest ones. The only thing I keep all of are the MP3 versions, because like those are fairly small. Like they're all under a gig, significantly under a gig. But like all like the Waves and the Audacity files and stuff, after a while, I just get rid of them. But that's how I keep my computer from being too full, is by just archiving stuff on Dropbox that I have to just manually sync it if I want it.
I just deleted 33 PodQuest recordings.
Nice.
And like 40 Brosé recordings or something like that.
Yeah. I wish that Windows would do the thing that I wish Windows Dropbox did what the Mac version does. And it actually lets you mark things as cloud only. Well, not cloud only, but lets you basically like unsync it from your local device, but still have it available to just download again, or set things to always be up to date on your local device.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes through and like periodically will, if you haven't opened something in, I want to say it's like 30 days or 45 days, it cleans it up and like removes the local cache of the file, and it goes to online only until you open it again.
Yeah. I don't really use Dropbox.
I do. Like I pay for the like 2 terabytes or whatever.
I just went from only having 82 gigs free to having 220 gigs free.
Nice. Good job.
And still, I don't know where, I mean, a lot of that, at least 150, 200 gigs is Baldur's Gate or something like that.
It's like 150. Why don't you uninstall that?
There's potential that I might play it again with people. And it's large enough to where like I want to have it available and not have to reinstall it.
I get it. Like, I do the same thing sometimes. Like, on my PlayStation, I'm like, yeah, but I might go back and play that. I'm not going to delete it right now. But also, it's like, am I really ever going to go play it?
Probably not. I just realized I still have Palia installed in my PC. But there's, like, no folder. I can't remember how to... I can't figure out how to uninstall it. I'm stupid. There's no, like, folders for it. And it wasn't downloaded through Steam. It was downloaded through their website. So, like...
Is it in your control panel?
I'm sure. Probably.
That's generally how you uninstall programs.
Look, I don't know how to get to control panel, man.
I wasn't even paying attention. Are you using Windows 11 or Windows 10? Oh, you're on 11. Yeah, you're on 11. I'm sorry. Actually, 11's gotten better. Control panel doesn't really exist the same way on 11, so I'm not sure if you can get to uninstall programs there. You might have to do it from like settings and apps.
I found it.
Nice.
I found it. I just went into the folders and searched control panel.
Yeah, I mean, that's all you have to do. I just didn't know, because like certain things in control panel just open up like the Windows settings now. It doesn't open up the traditional control panel anymore. Mm-hmm. So sometimes going to control panel is actually a useless step. But yeah, episode 500. That's a lot of episodes.
It is.
I think I mapped it out like mid-April. It'll be 10 years.
Yeah, sounds about right.
Yeah, because we started right after Winter Soldier released in 2014.
Because
our first episode, we talked about Winter Soldier.
Yes. I remember that episode.
Yeah, we were at Geek Fest.
Our first episode was a live episode, and then like we never did one after.
Didn't we do one more at GeekFest?
We might have. I don't remember.
I don't know. It was the audio quality was not good. Because not only did we not know what we were doing, but we were just live on a fucking convention floor, basically.
Yep.
Yeah.
Good times, though. Good times. Yep. Actually, you know what? Like, I'm just going to throw this out real quick, because I'm going to forget about it later. Since I'm going to be away the first week of April, do you guys want to, like, plan, like, a day between now and then and do, like, a quick, like, hey, remember what we did 10 years ago?
Sure.
I mean, we can figure it out. We can hash it out. You did mention earlier, or last week, that you were taking that time off, so we do figure out that episode.
Yeah, because we're going back to Japan.
Nice.
Yeah, should be a good time. We leave on the 5th and get back on the 13th.
Nice.
Man, I love time zones. Time zones are my fucking favorite. We leave here Friday, April 5th at like 10 o'clock in the morning. We get to Tokyo with a two-hour layover. So, two-hour layover in Detroit. We get to Tokyo at about 4 p.m. Saturday afternoon. So, more than 24 hours later.
Mm-hmm.
Coming home, we leave Tokyo at 4 in the afternoon. We have a six-hour layover in Minneapolis. We get home at 10 o'clock that same night.
Nice.
It is so stupid. But why not, right? Why not?
Yeah.
And hey, we get to spend 6 hours in Minneapolis, in the airport, but still. Can check that one off the places I don't have to go back to. Actually, apparently Minneapolis is actually kind of cool. It's where Game Informer is until Game Informer stops existing.
Game Informer still exists?
Yeah, kind of, yeah. Sort of.
WB hasn't canceled them or anything like that yet?
They're one of the few properties not owned by WB.
Shocking. It, literally since the Rooster Teeth stuff, I've just been seeing more and more of, oh, WB stopped this, WB stopped that, WB ended this. And I'm like, I did not know that they owned this much in the gaming centers.
Yeah, I mean, they made a bunch of, like, purchases that they probably shouldn't have. Plus, they've been purchased or purchased other companies so often that, yeah, they have very weird interests. I forget, did they sell off WB Interactive, or do they still technically own that? Because I know they were looking to sell it at one point.
I don't remember.
I think I vaguely remember hearing, like, WB Montreal was sold or something like that. I don't remember.
Well, because there was a lot of talk, like, about, like, what properties would technically be sold off. Like, obviously, they wouldn't be selling their DC stuff, but things like Mortal Kombat, for instance, would that get sold to the highest bidder? Would the Embracer Group suddenly own Mortal Kombat and never make another new Mortal Kombat game? Who knows? But anyway, Rich, what is on the agenda?
On the agenda this week, Cobb, you went to the movies?
I went to a movie.
Weird. You saw Dune. Drew, you played Helldivers 2. Thanks for the invite. I played some pinball, and we're going to just probably talk a smidge more about Final Fantasy VII. Probably not 2 hours worth like last week, but a smidge more.
No, I just wanted to do like a quick check-in. See how you're still liking it, say what I'm still liking about it, and kind of leave it there, because you are further than I am at this point.
Not by much, literally. Like, but we're not even that much further than we were when we talked about it a week ago.
Yeah, no, I played about 20 hours in 4.5, 5 days? And then I've played 6 hours in the last week.
Yeah, that was me. I put in about 24 hours from Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. It was probably like 24-ish plus hours. And then this past week, it was 18? No. Yeah, no, 20. Maybe less, actually.
I mean, still, that is, you are about 20 hours further than I am.
Not really.
I meant 26 hours, so...
Well, not timing-wise, but, like...
Content-wise, yeah.
Content-wise, yeah.
But, yeah, we'll talk about that at the end of the show. So, yeah, I went and saw Dune on a day... Saturday?
Nice. Saturday. Nice. Did you
get the popcorn bucket?
No, because I didn't go to AMC.
Oh, okay, fair.
I went out to... I actually went to Morristown for the RPX theater.
That's a good theater.
Yeah, well, because I figured, like, it's Dune, there's a lot of stuff happening. It would probably be pretty cool with, like, the rumble seats and all that they have there.
When were you there?
Saturday at 11.
Oh, okay. So, like, hella early. Gotcha.
Yeah, I went. I was the first showing they had because it's a 3-hour long movie. I did not want to go late.
Fair, because I was up there at like 5 to play Blood on the Clock Tower. So I was just going to laugh if we crossed paths without even knowing it.
I did. So I wandered that mall for like 10 minutes after the movie. And I'll get to the movie in a second. But man, that place is a fucking ghost town.
Sure is.
Like Saturday afternoon, I could have probably counted the number of people in that fucking place on one hand.
I mean, it's a mall.
Yeah, but you go to the Deptford or Cherry Hill Mall, there's actually, like, people there still.
Well, there's also stuff around the Deptford and the Cherry Hill Mall. That's the thing. Like, the Morristown Mall is it's in the better spot between the three, because it's literally right off the highway, but there's not a lot around the Morristown Mall, whereas, like, Cherry Hill is a big zone.
I feel like you're forgetting how much shit is actually around the Morristown Mall.
Literally around the Morristown Mall, yes. But in Morristown, no.
I mean, that's fair. But
that's,
like,
that's more so what I'm saying. Like, that like around the Morristown Mall, yeah, there's shops all the way around it. But the general area that mall is in, especially because there's an office park literally right there that no one goes to anymore because nobody works in an office anymore. Like, there's not a lot in that area for people to have to go to the Morristown Mall.
Yeah, I mean, you're not wrong. But I did walk past that game store they have there. And, like, looks like a cool place.
Yeah, and the people who run in there are pretty cool.
Yeah. Like, I didn't bother going in, because at that point, like, I'm just like, all right, I'm ready to go home. But, yeah, right. I kind of wandered around, like, oh, yeah, look, they have stuff in there. And, like, there are no anchor stores left in that mall, it seems.
Nope, not really.
But Dune Part 2 is, it's a movie. Have either of you guys seen the first one?
No. Nope. I've never had any interest in Dune, ever. Like, even the originals, I've never cared.
I mean, the originals are super campy, from what I understand. You might like these ones. Like, maybe not. I thought this movie was actually fantastic. I enjoyed the first one. Like, I thought the first one was really good. But the first one was a lot of build-up and world-building without any real payoff, so to speak, because everything was just leading to this one. This one was like, it was both. It was building on more things from the first movie with payoffs and actions and conflict and stuff throughout the whole movie. So when it was explaining things to you, you were interested because then you were seeing what those things it was explaining meant. Versus the first one, there was a lot of time where, like, they were just doing weird shit with no explanation, and it's like, I have no fucking clue what's going on right now. But that your weird spaceship helicopter thing that looks like a fucking dragonfly is kind of cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, so both of these movies are actually based off of just the first Dune book, which I think is why it's why the pacing is a little weird, because, like, the first half of the book isn't necessarily meant as a stopping point. You're supposed to just read the whole fucking book and get that full story. In this case, they split the book in half. The first movie just covers that first half. That is all the introduction and setup for, like, why you should care. And then the second one is like, yeah, here is what we tried to make you care about in the first one, and everything coming to a head and kind of where things could be going.
Mm-hmm.
I hope they do get to do the third one. Because I did not know this. Apparently, there are just tons of fucking books in this universe. Frank Herbert wrote the first six, and it seems like one and two are favored pretty heavily, and that's what people want. They want the second book to be made into the third movie to kind of, like, finish, I guess, that story arc. And then it seems like book three people don't like so much, book four people love, and then five and six people don't like so much. And then there's, like, a dozen other books that were written by his son and another author that people just try to pretend aren't part of that canon in any way, shape, or form.
Okay.
Like Dune fans look on that whole side of it worse than Star Wars fans tend to think of The Last Jedi. Like, they just want it kept far away from the thing that they love. I don't understand why, but I'm sure they have reasons. The same reason people hate The Last Jedi, because
it didn't meet their expectations, and so they're mad, and they can't grow up.
Yeah, exactly. But so part two picks up right where part one left off for the most part. Trying to think of how to explain it, because I don't think I ever talked about the first one on here either. But they're on the planet Arrakis, I believe is what it's called, which is the desert planet. Apparently, it used to be called Dune by the natives. And it's where they, it's where certain empire, parts of an empire collect a drug called spice. And the natives basically want to kick them off the planet and, like, get their planet back. And they kind of, they take in the air of the people that were, that are invading their home planet and, like, make him one of their own along with his mother. And, like, they're, he's not a child, like, he's an adult. That's Timothée Chalamet's character.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a lot of this, like, this kid who was raised essentially as, like, a royal. Because his father was Oscar Isaacs, and he was in charge. He was like the duke or something like that of the planet. Specifically of like the spice mining and stuff on this planet. And the kid was kind of he was one of those like bookish kids who like read up about the natives and what his people thought they did. Kind of the way that like people in the 1800s looked at like the Native Americans and thought they knew what they were and like thought they were like savages and stuff like that. When really they were just making assumptions about a people that they didn't understand.
Mm-hmm.
But he was very intellectual about it and like wanted to find out more about them. And after a series of unfortunate events ends up kind of part of one of their tribes and is sort of hailed as like a messiah by them, or at least by like a certain sect of them. So a lot of probably the first half-ish of the movie is a lot of sort of it's him training and kind of proving himself to these people, and also them like kind of building up a resistance against the invaders that have just overrun their planet for this drug trade essentially. Yeah, like it's a weird story, but it was really interesting. And like I said, like the second one had more stuff happening. Like you never had enough time to be bored if like a scene was slow, because something always happened at the end of a scene, whether it was like two characters interacting with each other in a certain way, or an actual fight or combat or an infiltration, or just fucking actors being really good. Like Stellan Skarsgård from like the Marvel stuff. He was Dr. Helvig in the Thor movies.
Yeah.
He's in it. He plays, I want to say he's a baron to the emperor, who the emperor is Christopher Walken also, for what it's worth.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah. But Stellan Skarsgård plays this guy who he is now the one in charge of Arrakis and everything. And his people are just hairless all over. And he has just this disgusting fat suit on. And he's just like this gross looking blob of a man who's just like, he's always naked, but not like they don't show anything. He's just kind of gross looking. And then his like right hand man is Dave Bautista.
Nice.
Yeah. Who like is really good in these movies. Like the only movies I've really seen him in were like the Guardians movies, where he's definitely like more comedic and action in that. And I believe I've seen him in a couple other like action comedy movies. Or at least I know he's been in a couple other action comedy movies, but in this one, like this is more of a serious role, and like he does a really good job. Like I was impressed.
Nice.
And then great cast in this movie. All the different kind of cultures and races and stuff like that. They're so different, but they're all kind of stuck, sort of fighting towards the same thing, but like on opposing sides. And I gotta say that some of the names in this are just, you have all of these very, very like sci-fi fantasy names for certain things, like some of the planets and the races and the peoples and stuff like that. And then like in the first movie, Jason Momoa's character was fucking called Duncan Idaho. Like, what kind of name is that?
It's the name of someone who can't think of names when they're writing their book.
Yeah. I mean, this was also from the 60s, I want to say.
Yeah.
So like it's early sci-fi, and I think that the idea is it's tens of thousands of years in the future. So like humans have just spread out into the cosmos, and while they're no longer like of Earth, like there's like that like path back if you like traced it far enough.
So his family probably lived in Idaho and owned a Dunkin' Donuts, and so he's got his family name of Duncan.
Yeah, like, and entirely possible. And, like, yeah, at one point, they literally just have a bunch of, like, atomic warheads. Like, it's a very funny concept for, like, a sci-fi thing. Because, like, at least for me, I'm used to, like, more modern sci-fi, where it's, you know, lasers and thermal detonators and all these, like, very, like, fancy high-tech weapons.
Yeah.
And this is so old that, like, the killer weapon, yeah, we're just gonna fucking nuke you guys. Like, if you won't leave, we're just going to drop an atomic bomb in the desert, and then no one gets the spice. Like, if we can't have it, fuck everybody. Which is also very American.
Yeah, sounds like the most American.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard people talk about this movie a little bit, and with what they had to say, like, one person was like, yeah, like, he brought his daughter to go see the movie. Like, they got to go to, like, one of the free screenings. Teenage?
Okay. Years,
something like, or maybe preteens. But, like, he had said, like, he brought his daughter, and his daughter had zero interest in the first movie, and, like, might have fallen asleep watching it. But then when she saw this one, she was like, I want to go back and watch the first one just to, like, understand everything further.
Yeah, like, it's weird how it really is one of those nothing really happens in the first one. And some of the stuff that they have happen, I feel like they just had happen so that there was some sort of conflict. But the first one was so much just world building and kind of characters talking to each other and like determining if they should take action, essentially.
Yeah.
And then this one's just like, yeah, no, first 10 minutes, they're going to fucking fight people. And a man in like this weird spacesuit is going to get fucking bludgeoned to death by a big boulder.
Damn.
Yeah. And like, I don't know if either of you have ever seen like any of like the scenes of the like the sandworm things or the big sort of like spider tanks that they use to harvest the spice. But the scenes with that stuff are like, they're super cool. Like there's a scene early in the movie where the natives of the planet, along with Paul, basically like are attacking these spider tanks as they land, and they all hide in the sand. Like they basically bury themselves under like a layer of sand and have like a straw sticking out to breathe. And then like once the tank gets close enough, because it's got ground troops surrounding it, they all spring out of it and just go chase down all the ground troops, kill them, and then start like shooting rockets at the actual tank. And then once they've sort of destabilized the tank and the dragonfly helicopters, whatever they're called, they from a distance they start shooting like rail guns basically at them, like big lasers that just blow the whole fucking thing up.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, like you can have your philosophy and your character building and all that stuff on one side, and then like 10 minutes later they're just gonna go blow shit up. It's the best of both worlds.
Nice.
Yeah,
sounds like sci-fi.
Like, yeah, it's fun sci-fi, because like I'm very like, I don't like Star Trek. I find Star Trek incredibly fucking boring. The modern movies were at least a little more exciting because they added a bunch of lens flare to it. But, like, that's just not a series for me. But then you have, like, stuff like this where it's, like, it's got the interesting world building and mythology and stuff behind it. But then they can also do, like, stupid over-the-top shit like Fast and Furious.
Yeah.
Give me both of those, and I'm happy.
They're going to drive a car in space.
Hey, they did it in 8.
Yeah, exactly.
Or 9. That was 9. I'm sorry. Yeah. Yeah, 9.
Was it 9 or was it 10?
No, it was 9. I actually haven't seen 10 yet.
Okay. I haven't seen 9.
9 was the worst one so far. Or close.
I don't know. It's
Too Fast, Too Furious is still pretty fucking bad.
Yeah.
9 is up there with not being great, though. Dune, though, or Dune Part 2 in particular, great movie. Worth seeing. It is definitely one of those movies that it is worth seeing on the big screen. But also, it is 3 hours long, so if you'll want to wait for it to just be on a streaming service and watch it that way, I fucking get it.
I mean, do you really need to see anything on the big screen anymore?
I mean, you don't need to. That's why I said it's a good movie for that.
I guess so.
Especially if you go to like one of the theaters that does like the really good sound and everything.
Yeah, those butt kicker seats are great.
Yeah, like those are good. I think like Cinemark has like an RPX theater now. I don't think they had the butt kicker things, but it's still like the better speakers, like just overall like a better movie going experience, so to speak.
Yeah.
I can't say like going to like a theater that has like one of those, like going to that tiny theater in Cinemark, like the like that first theater when you walk up the ramp that's super small. Like, probably not. That one's probably not worth spending the money on. But overall, super glad I watched it. Glad I didn't wait for it to come to like streaming.
Nice.
Yeah.
I probably will wait for it to come to streaming and maybe maybe watch it.
You haven't watched the first one yet.
I've never even seen the first one. So
watch the first one before you decide to watch the second one.
We'll see.
But Drew, you played Helldivers 2.
I did. I decided to pick it up. Walnut, do you have Helldivers?
No, I don't.
Okay. Well,
I don't have anybody to play it with.
Yeah, I mean, I only played a little bit. Just was, you know, kind of seeing how it was. It's very campy, in a fun way. Although apparently a bunch of people are missing the whole, like, fuck, what is the word?
They don't understand it's satire.
Satire, yes.
Yeah.
They're missing the whole fact that it's satire.
There are a lot of people out there that are mad at the fact that it's like, oh, we're spreading democracy by force, and you're a colonizer in this game. 100%, you are a colonizer in Helldivers. Just a space colonizer. And there are people out there that are just like, oh, this is bad, and this is wrong, and, like, have you not seen any of the promotional material? Have you not seen, like, how tongue-in-cheek it is? Like, this is 100% what Starship Troopers was. Like, it's so...
Those same people don't realize Starship Troopers was fucking satire.
Yeah. But also, Starship Troopers...
It was serious. Come on, now.
But Starship Troopers wasn't as, like, heavy on the colonization immediately as, like, Helldivers can be.
Come on. Starship Troopers is basically a nonfiction.
Yeah.
But, there's two different types of enemies. You do missions either against like robots or bugs. The intro doesn't show that there's robots at all. Like, the intro is all just like, oh, here's this dude and his happy family, and then his family gets murdered by these insects that invaded Earth, which then leads to the whole, you know, go spread democracy because you got to kill the bugs that are killing the humans. But then it just like throws you onto a ship and you go pick missions, and then you can either have it be drop in, drop out co-op, or just play solo. I dropped into one person's game over the weekend when I played a little bit, just to see what that was like. It's pretty wild coming across people that are way higher level that have way more shit than you have.
So like if you drop into someone's game, it's not like level matching?
No.
Because the way the leveling in this, it's your character's not leveling up. You're unlocking shit as you level.
But it's is the equipment like, not more powerful?
I mean, it definitely is.
It is, but you've never played Call of Duty Online. It's like Call of Duty, though. Like, you don't get all the weapons at once. As you get more experience from doing online matches, you unlock more equipment in that game, and that's how Helldivers works. You don't have it all right away. But as you level up, you get more equipment, you get more, what are the things you call down called?
Stratagems.
Stratagems and things like that. You get more of that, you get stronger things like that. And, like, I don't really know 100%, you can tell me more, like, doesn't everyone mostly have kind of all the same base equipment, and then it's the stratagems you call down and whatnot that really helps you?
Well, no, there's, like, straight up new gear and guns and stuff that you unlock as you're playing. Like, I don't know what it was that this one dude had that he was like level 26. I'm like level 4. Mm-hmm. Maybe I got to 5. But he had some like drone thing that just followed him and just shoots at everything that comes into range. And it was OP as fuck. Like, it was so cool just watching him just go like, I'm gonna walk up and everything's just starting to get like laser beamed.
Yeah.
Well, I guess my question then is, so if you as a new player are getting dropped in potentially to somebody who's been playing since launch, is like the level not scaled to a point where like you're just getting obliterated?
Well, I mean, so there's, I don't know that
the enemies don't scale. The enemies are all always the same difficulty level.
But there are different difficulty levels of missions.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
you're not like, getting dumped into a mission that you can't do necessarily.
I mean, you would pick the difficulty And whether or not you can do it by yourself is one thing. But if you can do it with randos that are higher level, that's another.
Okay.
Or people that you know, because you can party up and whatnot.
Yeah. The people you play with, they can also call down stratagems for you to use as well. Like, they can call down a railgun that you can grab and run around with. They can call down something that you can pick up and have. Even some stratagems are just resupply. Like, somebody can run around with an ammo pack, so you can waste all the ammo and shoot the ammo, mm-hmm. and then go to their pack and take it from them.
Okay. Yeah, other than knowing that it was very Starship Troopers-esque, as far as, like, fighting giant bugs and things like that, I know almost nothing about the game.
So, like, the stratagems that you call in, it's fun. You hold in L1. I don't know what it is on PC if you're playing on a keyboard, but you hold L1 and then you have to do a set of directions on the D-pad, and it's different for each different stratagem.
Yeah. So, like, you could have to do the Konami code at one point.
Yeah. And then you pick a mission, it'll have a couple objectives that you have to do, usually, like, go kill enemies at a certain spot or blow up a base. Those are the two I've most seen so far. And then you go to extract to get all your XP and any bonus stuff that you picked up throughout the mission. It seems like you get 5 lives per person that's playing. Because I want to say when I was in that 4-player game, it had 20 redeploys or whatever it calls them, which you then have to... If you're playing by yourself, it just automatically respawns you when you die. If you're playing with people, someone has to call in the stratagem to revive someone. And the thing with the stratagems, when you call them in, if you're not paying attention, they might just land on someone and kill them.
Nice.
So, like, you might call in a pod to revive someone, and then a bunch of enemies spawned and you stopped paying attention and dropped right on you and you just killed yourself to revive your friend.
Yeah. It can be complete and pure and utter chaos.
Yeah. It gets chaotic and fun and goofy. You know, the dudes are just, like, randomly shouting, like, "For democracy!" when, like, just are rapid firing on a machine gun or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that sounds exciting.
The one of the cooler features, I think, in the game, and it's also a little frustrating, because if someone like me were playing this game, I'd be really bad with this, is when you reload, if you reload before you empty your clip, you lose the rest of that clip.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't just auto-populate your ammo into the next clip when you reload. So you have to know that, like, you're down to 1 or you're empty before you reload.
And I'm pretty sure it also doesn't auto-reload when you run out of ammo.
It doesn't. You have to actively reload. If you go to shoot when you're out of ammo, it'll just keep clicking until you reload yourself.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like real war, man.
But in a video game.
Yeah. Democracy's got to be spread legitimately, okay?
Yeah, I mean, that tracks.
Yeah. Yeah, that game, it looks fantastic. I want it. It's on the list for probably this summer at some point. I will probably be getting it. It's once I beat Final Fantasy, I'm going to get back into and play Monster Hunter World. And once I get decent of the way through Monster Hunter World, I'll probably jump into Helldivers once a week.
Hopefully you find it enjoyable.
Yeah. I mean,
that would be a bummer if you didn't.
It's only $30, $40. Like, I wouldn't be too bummed if I don't find it enjoyable, but everything I've watched, I'm going to find it enjoyable.
I mean, that's fair. Like, you watch enough of it, you kind of get a good idea if you're going to enjoy it.
Yeah.
So yeah. Drew, you going to keep playing?
Yeah, I'll probably keep playing, and I'm sure, I know a bunch of people on the Discord my brother's in have it, and I could probably get them to actually jump in and play with me as opposed to just playing it solo.
Especially since Richie doesn't have it.
Yeah, right? God.
Hey, look, I'm bad at gaming, and I get games after people are done with them, is really what happens.
Like, I mean, those are two
different
problems. Yeah, this
guy's going to go back and play a game from 6 years ago instead of playing the game that's hot right now.
No, I mean, I literally tried to play Lethal Company yesterday, and nobody came to that stream.
Is that still a big game right now?
I guess not. I can't find anybody to want to play that game with me.
And I know we talked about it, like, last week, the week before. I can't remember, though. Is that like a squad-based game, or is it like a game you can play by yourself?
I mean, it's better with more people. The comedy and the fun of the game is having more people. But I just, I was doing it for getting 5 subs and my 5 sub reward. Let's see, currently on Twitch, and I know it's really dumb to say how popular a game is by based on Twitch viewership, but currently on Twitch is 3,000 people watching people play Lethal Company. So, which,
in the grand scheme of things, isn't that many?
It's nothing.
It's not that many, but it is like decent enough to where like somebody who's playing with only one person on there isn't going to get a lot of new viewership.
Yeah, exactly. Like, so I'm imagining that of those 3,000, a lot of them are probably on the same large.
Not really. The highest is 87.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. But like, still, that game was huge. People were. I knew people who were playing it weekly. People were playing it daily. And the last two times, I'm not trying Lethal Company anymore.
I mean, I can't blame you. Like, if you're not getting anywhere with it,
it was several Discords. Across several Discords, I said, hey guys, I'm playing this game on the 12th. I need people to play it with me. Let me know. On multiple Discords, and I brought it up like 2 or 3 other times. Like, hey guys, I'm still playing this. And then even on my Discord, I was like, who's playing Lethal Company with me? And I did one cycle by myself and was like, all right, well, there's no real point in playing this game because you can't really advance by yourself.
Time to head back to Apex?
No, I went and played I went and played Among Us with another streamer for a couple of hours.
Nice. Afterwards. It's funny, yeah. Like Among Us is one of those dumb games that like it is actually easy to get people to do because like as long as people like that game, like you can play from anything anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I had somebody who was having trouble trying to join our game last night, but I don't know if they are I don't know where they are mentally, both age and just in general, to be able to figure out and help talk them through getting into the game. And I think they didn't have a setting properly because they were like, I can't play because I'm on tablet and you're on PC. And I'm like, no, I'm playing with somebody who's on PS4. Like, it's a you problem, not a me problem.
Yeah, I think isn't that game all just like code based? Like you just enter the code to join?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but like what it is when you go into the game, there's two different settings. There's free chat and quick chat. If you're in quick chat, I don't really know what quick chat is, but if you're in quick chat, you can't join free chat. If you're in free chat, you can't join quick chat.
Quick chat is probably the default on mobile because it's the
yeah.
I've only ever played the game on mobile, so it's the pre-typed messages. So like you don't actually type your messages, you just click the bubble basically to send stuff.
Yeah,
makes sense.
And so I think that was their problem and why they weren't able to join us. But I mean, even when I do an Among Us stream, I it's pulling teeth to try to find people to play. So I'm probably not really going to be looking to do many more community things for a while because they don't work in my community for some reason.
Helldivers, right?
I mean, I if I'm playing Helldivers, I'm not playing with people I don't know because you need communication in that game. You need to be able to talk and communicate sometimes. And I don't want to trust people on my stream that I don't really know to like actually communicate with.
I mean, that's fair. I will say a couple different podcasts I listened to that I've talked about Helldivers recently. I have heard them say like specifically that like the random stuff has actually worked out really well for them. Like people seem to actually be cool for the most part in this game. Like none of them had those like horror stories about like just joining random parties that you get in every other game. A lot of them were just like, yeah, no one's on mic. Everyone's just kind of like pinging stuff as they need to. I forget which podcast it was. It was either Minmax or Giant Bomb or something, but they were just like, yeah, like I joined a game and like one dude was on mic and like occasionally he would just say, man, that's fucking cool. And like, that was kind of it.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, that, you know what, if you're going to play with randos, at least like the randos are okay.
Yeah. I mean, also to me, at least a game like this is a lot more of a social game and I don't want to not talk. Like I want to be able to talk to whoever I'm playing this game.
That's fair. That is fair. I like the idea of not talking to people, so.
But you don't like games like this.
So. No, not at all. Like, I'm not. Yeah. We all know I'm not going to play Helldivers.
No.
Oh, actually, before I forget, Rich, I don't know if you saw, but Midnight Suns might actually be the PS Plus game for April.
I never bought it, so that's good.
Yeah. Well, I remember when I talked about it a couple weeks ago, you mentioned wanting to play it, but it sounded like you didn't have it.
No, I never got it. It was on a super cheap sale, but I don't have the money right now with everything, so I ended up not buying it. But yeah, if it's PS Plus game, I'll get it for PS Plus.
Yeah, I don't know for sure if the article I saw said rumored or is, but, you know, if it is, there you go.
Yeah.
XCOM card game thing with Marvel Heroes. Why not?
Drew, anything else? RPG for me to play.
Yeah. Drew, anything else about Helldivers you want to discuss?
No, that's about all. All
right. Well, both of you guys apparently played pinball this week.
Yeah. I mean, I specifically went to a place and played specifically just pinball. Or, Drew, you went to an arcade and there was pinball there?
Yes.
Right? Yeah. I spent Friday with my dad, grandfather, my dad, my uncle, and my grandfather. Helped my grandfather with stuff at his house. And then afterwards, he knows a guy who owns a bunch of cars and owns a bunch of arcade caps. So unfortunately, like, what I'm going to talk about, the stuff isn't something you can go to. It's just some guy's house. But a lot of the arcade cabs were like, or pinball, I guess they're cabinets. Would they be cabinets? Machines?
People call them machines or tables, I think.
Yeah. Most of the pinball tables or most of the pinball machines that he had were relatively new. And
was his name Jeff Bacalar?
No.
Okay.
No. He had one really old one that we played. And then maybe he had a couple of other dated and older ones. And I can't remember the maker, but apparently the maker of a lot of the machines he had, he is a New Jersey native, and he's like friends with Jack something.
Jersey Jack.
Yeah, that's it. He's like friends with Jack from Jersey Jack.
Oh, well, how about that?
And so like these machines are $15,000, $20,000 machines. Like they are high price machines. And I was in awe about like everything that goes into pinball when I was playing some of these things.
Oh yeah, especially like newer machines are super cool and intricate.
They have storylines and like actual like it's not just like get high score. It's like, hey, do this thing. It gets you high score, but it's like one of the ones he had is a Godfather game that is multiplayer. You can have up to four players. Each player picks a different mafia house from The Godfather, and you have your own events to do to complete, and you have to hit certain things and get to certain points. And I'm watching him play, and at one point, he's pulling back the plunger to send the ball out, and he's only doing it, like, half full, or, like, three quarters full. And I'm like, why isn't he just sending it flying? It's like, oh, there's a strategy to pinball. You don't actually always send it flying.
Mm-hmm.
You push it. Sometimes you only want to get it halfway, or sometimes you only want to get it like. And in this machine, if he gotten it more than half but less than all the way, he would have like gone down a certain track and gotten better points. And so he kept trying to do that. And I'm like, this is wild. This is crazy. And like the machine itself, like had like scenes from the movie playing, like actual like small LCD screen with like scenes from the movie playing, or like different things happening, and like. There were figures on the top of the screen when he activated a thing. They would sit there and turn back and forth and shoot at you and stuff. I'm like, this is wild. The other one he had in that same room that I played with my grandfather, there was like an Elvira one. And like, so she's there. She's like, it's showing clips of like the movie she had on her show while we're sitting there trying to play. And it's like, oh, get the werewolf. And you have to hit the werewolf in the face or do this or do. I'm like, I did not know that pinball was this in-depth anymore. Or at all. And, like, it blew my mind. Because, like, you know, I fucking love pinball. It's one of the most underrated arcade games, in my opinion. And, like, it's awesome. It's fun. But those machines are so... Even, like, old school machines. But, like, the machines for pinball are so expensive. And they're so hard to maintain that, like, no one really wants to have a pinball machine.
Yeah, there's a lot to them. Like, it's not... Like, there's all the mechanics in them. The modern ones have so much computer. But there's also, like... just getting it leveled correctly. Because it's not like you can just like bring it in and set it up. Like you have to make sure that like the tilt is right and all that stuff. There's a science just to having a pinball machine set up.
Yeah.
And there's like a bespoke market for these machines now where like if you were to just buy like the ones that you find in like an arcade, they're expensive, but they're not as expensive as like some of the ones you were describing where like a lot of times people don't own them. They like borrow them.
And so like one of the first machines I saw when we walk into his garage to check everything out was a Godzilla machine. And I was, you guys know, the second I saw it, I'm like, I am playing that. I don't care. And one of the cool things about that machine is like, it would have like clips of Godzilla playing in the background or whatever. And every time he steps, and it's from like Toho Godzilla, it's old school Godzilla. Every time he steps, the entire machine shakes.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
I was like, this is fantastic. This is awesome. And like certain events you can do will make buildings actually collapse and it'll change the rail tracks and things like that. And I'm like, this is wild. This is so wild. There's even like a lot of his machines, and they were the Jersey Jack's machines, have like an actual button on the top where if like you activate an event, you actually have to press a button in a kind of video game-esque thing to press a button to complete the event as well. And it's not just like, oh, you did it. It's like, oh, you actually have to still play more while this like little cutscene is playing on the monitor. And then the Godzilla one, the Godzilla one was really cool. I spent a lot of my time playing that, but like to you guys, it's not really going to make a difference what it was. So I'm not really going to push on that one. Because, like, you guys aren't going to care. But there was another one he had, which was Wizard of Oz.
I think they have that one at the Fishtown Barcade.
And one of the cool things with the Wizard of Oz is you can go up to the second level. And there's the things, the paddles on the second level, but they're on the opposite sides. So the paddle that you would need to hit the left button for would be on the right side of the second level. And the paddle that you would need to hit the right button for is on the left side of the panel. And so like when you get up there and you're trying to make the house spin and the tornado happen and see like the Wicked Witch's legs come out or something like that. And so like all the paddle themselves, you have to realize like, oh, it's even though it's on the left side, it's the right paddle because it's facing right, or it's facing right to left and not left to right. So it's the one that's going up from right to left, and the one that's on the right is facing left to right, going down from left to right, and so it's flipping up like that. So you have to hit the left one for the right and the right one for the left. It was like that's really cool. That's a cool like kind of backwards feature to it. And then my other favorite was he had a Jurassic Park one. And this one he said was the newest one of his collection. And it seemed like pretty brand new. And there were times like you had to catch dinosaurs, and so you would have to hit the balls into the gates, and it would capture the gates and then send you a new ball, and eventually you could get like multi-ball from that. There was one point where if you hit a certain object, the T-Rex's mouth would open up, and then you would have to hit the ball into the T-Rex's mouth, and he would then chomp down and like shake his head and then eventually spit the ball out. I was like, this is really cool. But it's like, it was super, because you can go up that track at any point in time to go towards the T-Rex's mouth, but to get actually in the T-Rex's mouth was such a specific hit. It was really hard to do. Like, and this guy, he owns this machine. He's got a couple million points in the game, or a couple billion points, who knows. And he just, he couldn't even do it perfectly either. Like, he was just like, sometimes you just gotta get lucky. And the coolest thing about the game, I've never seen it in a pinball machine, is most pinball machines, you pull back the plunger and you release it, and it goes up and circles around the back of the machine, or goes up and hits the bumpers at the back. This one, you pull the plunger and release it, and it goes up and hits like a loop and comes back down, and then goes to your right flipper And so you release the ball and you get a flip. You get a hit from the right flipper immediately. It's not like you're sitting there waiting for it to do its own thing. You get a chance to hit it almost right away. Which I was like, that's an interesting design. I've never seen something like that. So yeah, it was a great time just playing some guys' arcade cabs. I liked it. I enjoyed it. It was a good time. But yeah, it was crazy.
So I was just thinking as you're talking about like the Jurassic Park one or the just the dinosaur one in general. Have you guys ever seen a Pokemon themed pinball machine? I feel like that could be pretty fucking cool.
I don't think that I have.
Like that it works, you know, instead of just little silver balls, make all the balls shape or colored like Pokeballs.
That would be cool.
And you can even like have them colored like different ones. Like I honestly don't know how like the internal mechanisms work, but assuming that like you can properly do it, like have like as you're playing the game, have like the balls increase to like the different types for like different point values or whatever like that. Like as your point goes up, I should say, not like the balls are worth more points.
Mm-hmm.
But then like all like your paddles and stuff and bumpers in the back can be like Pokemon on like little LCD screens, and like you hit the paddle, you catch that Pokemon sort of thing. That'd be a pretty fucking cool pinball machine.
Yeah.
Yeah. It would be interesting. I've never seen one. I don't think there is one. I Googled Pokemon pinball machine.
I mean, there was Pokemon pinball. That's right. There was literally a video game of it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But video game pinball and like actual pinball are different. Like there's, like,
I mean, you can't, absolutely.
You can't say that Sonic Spinball and pinball are the same thing.
But like both are good.
Yeah. Yeah. Sonic Spinball is a little rough around the edges, but yeah, you're right.
And like for what it's worth, Pokemon pinball, pretty cool on the Game Boy. It was the one, like the cartridge took a fucking AAA battery because it had Rumble built into it.
Mm-hmm.
That was big in 1998 or whenever that came out.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Drew, you went to like Barcade or something?
Yeah, they opened the second Barcade in Philly, like right in Center City. It's 13th and Chestnut, right across from the Wanamaker building.
Okay.
It's more Barcade. It's, you know, it's got arcade machines and pinball machines. I played, did the star, old, like the old Star Wars pinball. So I played some of that. Played some of the Iron Maiden pinball machine and the old Terminator 2 machine. They had like a Deadpool pinball that looked interesting, but it was super packed and I never got a chance to play that. And then, you know, it's got random smattering of different old arcade games. Played a little Smash TV, played Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Which Ninja Turtles?
The first one.
Okay. So I've actually never been to one of those. Is it just like you pay and like the games are just all unlocked, or do you have to like drop quarters in them?
No, they have a token machine. It's actually pretty affordable. Like we put in one $20 bill, played for like, let's see, we got there like 6:30-ish, left at like 8:30-ish. So played for like 2 hours and still had a bunch of tokens left over.
Oh, nice. Yeah, that actually... That's pretty reasonable.
Like, I mean, I'm imagining it is basically 4 tokens per dollar. I never really counted. And the most anything is 3 tokens. And the, like the pinball is the most expensive stuff. Pretty much everything else is 1, maybe 2. Like the racing games seem to be 2 tokens.
Oh, okay.
But then like TMNT was 1 token.
Mm-hmm.
So... Yeah, and, like, we didn't have any of the food that at that one, because we were going to dinner after, but, like, the food at the Fishtown one is pretty good, so I'd imagine the food at the Center City one is also good.
Nice. I always forget there's one up in Fishtown. Like, it's not, it's actually right around the corner from the Fillmore, isn't it?
Yeah, like, it's, like, 2 blocks away.
Yeah.
Or actually, not even. It's, like, 1.5 blocks away.
Yeah, I thought it was, like, super close to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, like, also near the casino, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Rich, you go to that casino, you play the real games.
Well, no, the last time, the only time, or I guess just last time in general, and maybe I was there twice in general in total, but the last time I was there, the Fillmore was non-existent. It was the casino. It was all that was around there.
Oh, wow. So it's been quite a while.
Yeah, it's been, I don't go into Philly.
Well, you should. There's cool stuff there.
I don't got anybody going to Philly with.
Just go by yourself.
No. Plus, I'm not going to go to Fishtown by myself in my car. I don't drive.
Sounds nice.
I don't drive into Philly.
That's barely Philly.
It's the easiest drive.
I don't drive into Philly.
Don't you drive into Philly to get donuts?
That's the most I'm going to do, and that always gives me anxiety.
I feel like that is actually the worst drive than driving to Fishtown.
I mean, it's not, because although it's right off like the main road near the stadiums, like I don't go during game days. I mean, if I am going on a game day, it is fucking early. It is 8, 9 o'clock. So like, and it's far enough away from the stadiums that like parking's not going to be affected.
Yeah, like, I mean, so for what it's worth, like, I'm not trying to convince you to drive to Fishtown for no good reason, but like, yeah. You literally just make the very first right off of the Ben Franklin Bridge onto Fifth, mm-hmm. and then you hang a left, or you hang one more right and one more left onto Front Street, and you're in like the heart of that area.
So my problem isn't as much driving in Philly. Like, I do have a little bit of an issue, like a little bit of anxiety in general, just driving in Philly, but it's more finding somewhere to stop in Philly.
Park at the casino.
Yeah.
Then I'm just going to go to the casino.
Do both.
Yeah. Go make a little money at the casino and then go wander on Fishtown, get a nice bite to eat or something.
Yeah.
So I will say that is the reason to go up there. There are so many restaurants and stuff up there.
Yeah.
Like, you could, in theory, go up there, like, every week and not run out of restaurants for quite a while.
Well, I mean, it's probably also because with rent as high as it probably is, there's a new restaurant there every week.
Actually, no. You know, like, I understand that's a joke, but, like, thinking about it, like, a lot of the places, like, they've been there at least for a couple of years, like, minimum. Mm-hmm. So, like, because, like, they do well enough, I think. Like, yes, you're right. Like, I'm sure the rent up there is just fucking astronomical. But I think there's so many people up there that they do a good business.
I mean, it's also Fishtown. It's hipster town, Pennsylvania. So
I feel like that's more Northern Liberties now.
Maybe. Yeah. I don't really know Philly. I don't really.
I feel like Fishtown has kind of turned away from that and is now all bars, restaurants, and concert venues.
Mm-hmm.
And the comedy club Punchline is right there too.
If I can't walk to it from the speed line, if I can't walk to it in 10 minutes from the speed line, I'm not going.
Get out of your shell, man. Explore.
If I had people to explore with, I would.
Be okay by yourself. Explore yourself is what I'm saying.
I'm boring. Why would I want to do that?
That's fair. That is fair.
You don't even come to my streams.
Hey, I subscribe sometimes when I think. What's more important, watching you or giving you that Twitch Prime?
Watching me.
You can only have one, and it's unfortunately the Twitch Prime.
Watching me. Here's the thing. I'm pretty sure I stream enough to where if you sat there and watched every one of my streams, I would probably make more money from ad revenue from you watching my streams than I do from you subscribing to my stream.
That is depressing just for like how the breakdown goes for that stuff.
I don't know 100% for sure, but like I stream a lot and I'm pretty sure I get more. I'm pretty sure if I had the viewership that my follower count, which shows that I should probably have, I would have a lot more money. I would definitely get more money from it. You know what I'm saying?
And then you could take that money to the casino in Fishtown.
Exactly.
And then khakis.
And stream myself at the casino.
IRL stream Kick. You playing blackjack.
yeah. Just start. I'll go on Kick and show and stream myself. At the casino.
Look, I assume Twitch has like a terms of service saying you cannot do that.
Twitch, you're not allowed to do gambling streams on Twitch.
That's what I mean. Like, I assumed it was in there. I did not know if they had a non-gambling thing on there, but I assumed they did.
A few years ago. It's relatively recent, but like it's still something that they took down during the pandemic was gambling streams.
Okay, but. Anything else about like pinball or arcade machines either you guys want to say?
No. No.
All right then. So I guess just kind of a quick little check-in on Final Fantasy VII then. Rich, how are you still enjoying it? Or are you still enjoying it?
I am still enjoying it. There's a lot to this game. There's a lot of stuff in this game. And it can get a little overwhelming. But I am enjoying it. I'm having a lot of fun playing it. It's a good time. The only thing that I've gotten a few frustrations. Number one is fuck the fitness game.
Yeah.
Or whatever it is. The crunches or whatever it is. Not crunches. Pull-ups. No, it is crunches.
It's crunches.
It's sit-ups or crunches. Yeah. Fuck that game. Here's what I hate about it. When you first get that minigame, for the quest line, the idea of what you need to do is tap the button when it shows the circle. But then when you do that for the side quest, or for just the bonus content, it's not tapping. And it's a bad system because it's hold it in halfway and then hit it when it reaches full capacity or something.
It changes the third time too for once it gets a little harder.
I can't do that minigame.
I can't. So I beat the initial one, and then I beat the girl one more time. And then I went against the first guy, and that's the one where it changes from rapidly pressing the button to pulling it halfway and then pulling it all the way. And I kept failing on that because my brain just didn't want to do that part correctly. Yeah. It also doesn't help that it's all on the shoulder buttons, and it just feels bad.
It's there's two things that I hate. It's number one, it's on the shoulder buttons, which I don't mind that, but the rhythm is L1 or is R1 L1 L2 R2 R1. Or
it goes clockwise or counterclockwise ones.
L1, R1, R2, which to me, when I'm hitting those buttons, when I'm hitting my shoulder buttons, that does not feel natural to me. A clockwise or counterclockwise motion does not feel natural. What feels natural is R1 or L1, like L1, R1, L2, R2, or opposite, R1, L1, R2, L2. Like a zigzag, a Z motion, something like that. That feels natural to me. This doesn't. And because it's one of those mini games where it slowly gets faster as you do it, I can't get the rhythm at the beginning. And I was getting so frustrated. I was getting so mad. I couldn't get the whole holding it halfway and then hitting it full.
That was what killed it for me too, was the halfway and then
that was,
full.
That was the first mini game where I was just like, I'm not doing it. I'm just done.
I was trying to get a metronome to work with it. I literally had a metronome pulled up on my laptop, and I tried to find one that would gradually increase the speed. And I couldn't find one that increased at the right interval that the game does, because the game slows down when you fuck up.
Yeah.
So
it not only does it slow down when you fuck up, it also slows down when you have the challenge.
Right. Yeah. So I could never get something to match up correctly. So it didn't help I hoped it would. I'm not going to go back. There's none of that stuff actually gives me anything I care about. So I'm not planning on going back to it. I think what I might do is after I finish the game, I think I might drop it to easy or story or whatever and go see if those things are any easier that way. I'm just curious if it changes it at all. I'm not going to clear them, but I just want to see if maybe it keeps the thing on the screen the whole time or something.
I don't think it will. I don't think it'll make a difference. The other one, I had a lot of fun with that gun shooting minigame at Costa del Sol.
The
ghost ship, the ship. It's the arcade. You're shooting the targets with the gun.
I don't think I did that one.
You had to have, because it was part of the side quest as well with Aerith going on the date.
I was with Tifa.
I was with.
At Costa del Sol. I was thinking of.
No, not Gold Saucer.
Gold Saucer.
Yeah. I was frustrated at the fact that once I finished that side quest to go on the date with Aerith, they incorporated one more difficulty level or one more level of challenge for the ghost ship portion. And that one was they count your accuracy towards it. I was like, well, this sucks, because that controls so poorly, because you're targeting with the left stick, and it's just it's so slow, but also so fast at the same time. And again, I will stand by this. The worst feature that PlayStation has incorporated into their console is these fucking haptic feedback triggers, because
when they're done well.
I don't think it's done well at all in this game. I don't think it's ever done well. I think it is a bad feature. I don't like it.
I don't know. There's lots of times where I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah, there have been times in Final Fantasy even where I think it actually was kind of cool.
If I could turn it off, I would.
You can turn it off.
Where? How?
The system settings.
Then I'm gonna have to do that because I think it's a bad feature. Like
some of those mini games also actually have a press this button to turn off the adaptive triggers.
I pressed that and it didn't turn it off. It was less as adaptive. Like it wasn't as hard. Like I think it's a stupid feature. I don't understand. I don't care about vibrate. I don't care about vibration. Like that doesn't pull me in or out of a game having vibration. I think it's a silly thing. When people were up in arms at the fact that these controllers might not have vibration because of lawsuits, I was like, okay, who cares? Like I
personally think like the rumble does add something when it's done well too. Like I think sometimes it's done very poorly, but other times like you know it makes sense.
The only time I care about rumble, and it's probably because it's done very well, is in Sea of Thieves when I'm sailing the ship. There's two things that helps with the rumble. One, it will rumble when you center your wheel, when you center your ship's wheel. And the other time it'll rumble when the fish is about to come off the line, so you know to move the direction that you're fishing from. That's it. But like even the fishing thing, I don't need that because I've played the game without the rumble and the screen shakes, and that's fine.
Yeah, so then just go into system settings, just disable all of it.
If I knew I could do that, I probably would have. Because I think the rumble I don't care about as much. The rumble is whatever. Like I'm not going to turn the rumble off because a lot of times when the controller is rumbling, it's during a cutscene, and I already have placed it on my desk, and I'm just feeling my entire desk rumble at that point because I don't hold my controller when I'm watching a cutscene. But those triggers, I hate them.
They don't bother me. Like every once in a while, I don't think they're always used well, but they've never bothered me.
Yeah, I think so. Like that really frustrated me was like they incorporated that they have that the trigger in that game, and then my finger was hurting trying to get the best score, and I was like, oh, you now need to get another 1,000 points to get the best score to get the best item of this game. Like, you could have just let me do it all right away. Like, if you're going to introduce a mini game, let me do it all right away. Don't, like, have me get to one point and then be like, oh, by the way, now that you've finished the side quest, here's just one more thing you can do. You just have to do it better now. It's like, no, just let me, like, it's a reward thing. Like, what if I'd already gotten that amount of points? Would I not have gotten that reward?
Yeah, probably not.
It's bullshit.
See, I don't play those games beyond what I have to. Like, I don't even try that hard in them. So
that didn't
bother me at all.
Unless it's a game that I just can't get into, like the crunches, I will get 3 stars. I will gold star it every game.
One try for all of them. If the only thing I ever retried was the Queen's Blood, because I think that was like a fun game and I want it to win the tournament. But like all the mini games, one try. If I do well, I do well. If I don't do well, I'll try. Like I don't need to go again. Like at the Gold Saucer, I got the high score on the motorcycle game. I got this middle score on the shooty game, like the spaceship shooty game. And I think I got like the lowest possible score on whatever the third thing is you do. The battles, maybe?
The battles were interesting.
I only did one battle and it was way harder than I thought it was going to be. Like I made it through both rounds, but just like, all right, cool, I did a battle. I don't have to do this anymore.
I did the first battle. And it was like the first battle of like the first round of the first battle took me so many tries because there's just so many enemies in that fight, and it's like separating them and killing, figuring out which ones to kill first and things like that. The next round in that fight was cakewalk. It was simple. And then the same with like the next round. It wasn't until like the level increased from like 30 to 40 was when I was like, oh, okay, now this is hard. And then have you left the Gold Saucer yet?
I'm in the prison.
Okay. Have you done anything in the prison yet?
I got the first bit of food for the chocobo. Okay. So I had to fight that little horde of fucking cactuars.
Horde of cactuars. Oh, Which one? That was, oh, that was like going to the, finding the greens in the cave because the,
oh, yeah,
the
bar I guess owner. It's right. Not in any sort of order. Like, yeah, I the bar owner gave me the key to go up onto the cliff, and I had to chase a cactuar and fight a bunch of other enemies, and then I got fucking murdered by that little horde of cactuars like 6 times because all of them kept casting 1,000 needles on me.
Cactuars are a pain to fight, man. They're fun. Like 12, there's
fucking 12 of them.
I mean, look, you probably don't play like I do. I only use Cloud's range attack.
I've yet to figure out how the range attack works.
Dodge and then attack.
Oh, is that really all you have to do?
You dodge. You don't even have to be. You just hit. You don't even have to be dodging out of the way of anything. You dodge and then keep hitting square, and he sends an airwave. If you hold square, he'll send an airwave and then dash towards it. But if you just dodge and then hit attack,
yeah. Sometimes he just does it, and I'm like, this is great. I'm finally hitting the enemies that are flying. But then other times I get into battles with flying enemies. I'm like, cool, Cloud, you're useless. Come here, Barrett.
Oh, it's Yuffie's the best for all this. For cactuars, I mean, you can't use Yuffie at the moment, but for cactuars, Yuffie's the best.
Oh, because you just throw her fucking thing and just let it do its thing?
You throw her shuriken, and then you use her her ninjutsu, and her ninjutsu always hit the cactuar.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, because they can't dodge something they can't see.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. As far as Yuffie goes, when you're running around as her and you have to do the bomb fight.
Yeah.
That bomb kicked my ass a couple of times.
Yeah, that fight was rough. I think I had to do it once or twice.
I finally I think I did it 3 times altogether. Like I died twice and then on the third one I got it. On the third one, the majority of the fight was throw the shuriken, let it do like a little bit of damage over and over again, run around in a circle. When I had 2 bars of ATB filled, do an attack, and only one though. I always kept one charge so that I could fucking heal myself when it inevitably managed to hit me with one of its fire attacks that did way too much damage.
Are you, when you use her, are you not using her elemental ninjutsu?
No, I am.
Okay.
So that is usually one of the attacks that I would do. I would either do one of the elemental ninjutsu or one of just her elemental attacks. I had unlocked like the ice and wind and thunder, I think, at that point for her.
Yeah.
So like I would hit those and I'd hit the ninjutsu and stuff like that to try and figure out like what did the most damage each time.
Well, I mean, his weakness was ice, so it was just anytime I use her, it's find out what their weakness is, elemental ninjutsu for their weakness, and then throw the shuriken and then use the ninjutsu constantly.
So I think the actual snow flurry thing was doing more damage than the ninjutsu was.
You do know the ninjutsu is key to her attacks, right?
No.
Did you not? You don't read.
I don't
read. You need to read.
But I also don't use Yuffie. She's not part of my thing.
But when you first got her, it taught you how to use her.
Yeah, and I immediately closed it.
You throw her shuriken, and when you hit square, while her shuriken's out, she uses ninjutsu attacks.
Oh, that I did see. Yeah.
If you
I thought you meant like her regular attacks then got charged with it.
Yes. If you use her elemental ninjutsu ability, you can set it to fire, ice, wind, or air. Fire, ice, wind, or what am I missing? The last one. You can set it to lightning. You can set it to that. And then when you have the shuriken out and her ninjutsu attacks when you're hitting square are then that element.
Yeah. So I only thought it was when the shuriken was at, like, I thought the shuriken was doing that element as it was spinning on them.
No, it's
her actual squares did it.
It's her square attacks do it when the shuriken is out.
Okay.
So that's why you weren't doing damage because you weren't attacking.
No, it was doing damage. I just wasn't attacking a lot. So I thought the shuriken was doing damage versus the snow flurry or whatever it's fucking called.
Well, yeah, so like the snow flurry is, so the thing about her attack is it's not going to cause a elemental exploit to pressure, but it will cause bonus damage due to weakness.
Right.
So you are doing extra damage because the shuriken's out, so that's dealing damage. Plus she's attacking, which is dealing damage. And if you're attacking fast enough, you're potentially doing more damage than if she's attacking physically. but she is a great ranged fighter because of that. And then you use like the snow flurry, the fiery impulse, whatever, to cause, or you use your magics to cause just the pressure. But with the bomb, to pressure a bomb, you need to deal just specifically ice damage while it's using flamethrower. So if you're throwing the shuriken and then just running around while it's using an attack or something, you weren't pressuring it.
No, because I also wasn't using like the ice spell directly, because I was saving my MP for healing.
But if you had the snow flurry,
The way that you said it, I thought you meant the spell is what pressured it.
No, any ice damage that's not her ice ninjutsu.
Okay.
Any elemental damage that's not her ninjutsu will do... Well, any elemental damage of their weakness that's not her ninjutsu will cause a pressure.
Yeah, I didn't scan or assess him either, because, like, he's a bomb. Like, ice is obviously the thing that's going to work against him.
Yeah. Even if I think I know it, I still scan. Every new monster I scan, just because every new monster, there's potentially a different way of pressuring them.
Yeah, and I mean, it makes sense. I don't think I even had pressure on her, though. Like, I had her configured with different materia.
I mean, she starts with an assess, so unless you did take
I take everything off of everybody and rebalance it. Because I don't need that many assess. I really just need... I have two people with it, just in case.
I only ever have Cloud with it, because Cloud's always in your party.
So Cloud has it, and then I occasionally give it to other people, just in case I'm not using Cloud. Because, like, sometimes in battle, I will switch from Cloud immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if it's a flying enemy.
but see? Again, because you didn't read the tooltips to figure out how to do the range attack with Cloud. Flying enemies, I fight with Cloud. Because it's dodge, hold square, and he dashes right up to the enemy, and he's in the air, and you attack them right there.
I don't know. See, even with that, because I've had that happen a handful of times just by happenstance, I'd rather attack them with Barret. Like him, for he's just really good for range.
Barret's really good for range, for sure. But, like, Cloud's my party leader, so I'm automatically using Cloud when the fight starts. But also, like, I don't use Barret as much as you do.
I don't like Cloud all that much. Like, if I could swap Cloud out of the party, I actually would.
I honestly probably would as well. I think my ideal party at this point would be Tifa and Yuffie, and then probably either Aerith or Kate Sith. But I just unlocked Kate Sith, so don't really know how well he's going to be.
Yeah, like I would probably it would definitely be Tifa and Barret for me. Because like both of them are great at raising the stun gauge.
Does Barret have an ability that increases stun damage?
He does have an ability. It's a weapon ability, and I forget what it's called. I just started using it because I had swapped weapons. It adds something to your gun, to like just your regular shot, that increases it. I think
bonus shot.
No. Actually, yeah, maybe bonus shot.
That increases pressure.
Yeah.
Oh, you said stun. There's pressure, and then there's the stun percentage.
So it increases...
Or there's the stun gauge, which Barret uses his triangle attack, which will increase the stun gauge, and then if they're pressured, that their stun gauge increases more. And then Tifa, she has abilities that increases the percentage of damage that you do while they're stunned.
Right. Yeah, so...
So that's why I was...
Shot on Barret, because it increases pressure, that bar fills up quicker.
Yeah, that bar fills up slightly faster. Not really much.
Depending on the enemies, because his attacks are coming so quickly, like, I get some enemies stunned really quick. Bosses, obviously, because bosses are their own bag of issues. Dude, but
wait until you fight Dying Man. That fight's annoying.
Yeah, I'm not looking forward to that. But because even his overcharge ability is super fucking useful.
Yeah.
And then Tifa is just great because, yeah, like, her physical attacks, even without any sort of like extra buff, tend to just pile on to the stun gauge if they are pressured. And then things like Unbridled Strength give you that.
Yeah, I mean, if you attacks. Yeah, like if you can increase your speed to where ATB refills faster, and use her, and you can get two ATB bars filled really quickly, unbridled strength, both of them, and then fill up two ATB bars before anything's even staggered.
Yeah,
and then
staggered is the word I was trying to remember. Yeah. I kept saying stun. Staggered is what I was trying to think of.
And then you pop three triangles from Tifa to get their damage up to at least 200%, and then use an ability or two from her, or pop another unbridled strength or two, and then increase their damage even further. But if they're at 200% and not dead already, then they're a boss, and you might want to hold that unbridled strength and just do damage.
Yeah, so my party would definitely be those two, and then I'd probably cycle between Red, Aerith, and Yuffie.
Oh. See, I like Red, but I can't block. I can't get the perfect blocks. And so he's bad
at blocking. I've just given up on it.
He ends up being worthless. Because he doesn't even have a block animation.
Yeah. If you can't even hit a block correctly with Cloud, I just don't try anymore. I dodge a whole bunch, and usually if an enemy has like the will get pressured from avoiding or blocking their abilities, I just avoid it by dodging them, and that is good enough for me.
I'll generally dodge, or I will I'll pull out Punisher mode and counter.
I don't use Punisher mode that much, except he has that one ability that improves if you switch to Punisher mode. It's another weapon ability.
Yeah. It's Prime mode.
Is that what it's called?
I think so. It's the new... You just got it, I think. You should have just gotten it with your purple sword.
It's off of that one.
And it enters him into Prime mode, and then... which, makes Punisher mode stronger. And, there's something about, a bonus as an extra attack if you're holding square if you do it or something. But, there are enemies that will hide in the sand, and the only way to pressure them is to hit them while they're out of the sand. And so I'll just enter into Punisher mode and hold guard, and he will counter anything that hits him physically when that happens. And so that's how I do those fights. I just sit there and I hold guard until an enemy pops out.
That makes sense. Aerith would probably be my least used one because she's just not great to fight with.
She can be a little rough. She's got some cool abilities, but she needs setup.
Well, and that's the thing. Her abilities are cool, because it's just how everyone specs her. She tends to have good magic and magic defense, but because enemies target the player character usually, she sucks at mobility.
That's the one thing that's really getting to me is unless an enemy is staggered, your AI characters seem to not be attacking. And so, they won't... They'll just sit there and guard the entire time. And I've watched it. I'll switch over to Aerith or to Red or to somebody else, and I'll watch Cloud, and he'll go from attacking to just guarding the entire fight.
Have you gone into your combat settings and made sure that they're set to do certain things?
I'm gonna have to go and play with that stuff because it really does feel like my characters don't do much.
There is a defense balance aggressive option sort of thing. You might unintentionally be set to defense or something like that.
I never changed it, so it's whatever would be base. It might be on balance, but balance might just mean that they only attack when they're pressured or staggered.
Yeah, so my party tends to attack fine. I do cycle between them a lot because their ATB gauges, they're not attacking as quickly as I can, so the ATB gauges don't go up as quickly.
Well, yeah, that's just how the game design. If you're not using them, their ATB gauge won't go up as fast. But I'll get into full fights where Cloud will get two full ATB gauges. Fill up both gauges, use them both, and then fill up two more before either of them gets one full gauge.
Yeah, mine's never that bad.
They get just half a full gauge, actually.
Yeah, usually I'll go through two gauges before the other party members have filled up all their two. But I also I have all of mine set with autocast for healing.
Oh, I took that off.
Oh no, it's super useful for me.
Tifa ran out of MP at one point, and I didn't realize it and went into a fight because she was auto-healing the entire time. And I went into a fight, and she didn't have any MP to heal or to help fight an attack. I'm like, yeah, I don't like auto cast.
Oh, that's weird. I've never had that happen because they only heal when a character is like below half health.
Yeah. I mean, I take a lot of damage because I don't block or guard. I just attack. I'm aggressive as fuck.
I mean, I am too. I roll around a lot. But I also, like, I'll also stop and heal myself sometimes before they will, so that that auto heal tends to be more so that they're healing each other and I don't have to manage everybody.
Yeah.
But I also have, like, Tifa set up with auto ability, so she uses Unbridled Strength on her own.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But we have gone on about this more than I thought we would, so.
Yeah. I can't wait to hear your take on Chocobo Racing.
I'm excited for it because I like Chocobo Racing.
The best mini game in the game.
I'm gonna be honest. Yeah, like, I stopped playing a lot sooner yesterday than I probably could have because I just didn't want to deal with the walk around and talk to people in the prison to find out where else I had to go look for fucking the stupid fucking Chocobo food.
Yeah, it's so it's easy. There's one where you have to figure out who's telling the truth. I misread that and I thought it was figure out who's lying. There's like five swindlers and you have to figure out who's telling the truth between the five. And it's really easy. I failed it once, but that's just because I misunderstood the request.
Oh, so it's not all go wander into the desert and fight monster after monster until you eventually get them?
It's all in the prison. It's all in the prison. Like even...
That's the Cactuar one I just found incredibly like annoying and not fun. To, like, chase a Cactuar and then fight the little flying fish thing. And then fight one of the flying dragon things. And then fight two of the fucking headhugger, whatever the fuck those things are called.
Yeah, that one was the only one that, like, took you out of the prison general area. There's one that's another battle arena. And so you have to clear that one. The final fight in that one is a pain in the ass. And I still wasn't really able to figure out how to fight that enemy, even having assessed it like four fucking times.
That doesn't sound fun to do with just Cloud.
If that battle arena is only ever one player or one character. And then another one is just going into an alley and fighting things. So like there's four. So spoilers minor. There's four available to you at that point. You only need three.
I mean, I figured, because that's how a lot of those things tend to be.
The other three are for trading to the girl, because, like, you get the four, and then they unlock two more side quests to do to get more greens. Those other two, plus the bonus one you get, is to just get different gear for your chocobo, to trade to the girl to get different gear for your chocobo, which the gear will affect your racing. I don't think I use that gear during the race.
Oh, so, like gear, like not the same gear you trade the plumes for or whatever?
It is, like, you can have them wear it when you're out on the field. It is that same style gear, but it's just bonus stuff. Like, you do have the plumes and the person to trade that gear with. This is also additional gear for your chocobo to wear that is just side quest to get the greens.
Okay.
You only have to do three. If you don't want to do the battle arena or one of the others, you don't have to.
Well, that's good to know. Yeah, I'm just, like, the battle arena stuff just isn't all that much fun. Like, I like the combat well enough, but not the single combat, like, because I don't really like fighting with Cloud. Like,
Maybe
he's balanced boring.
Maybe now that you know how to do the ranged attacks, you might be a little bit more comfortable fighting with Cloud.
No, I think he's boring.
He can be, but it's also because you're kind of forced to use him the entire game.
Exactly. Whereas, like, I do have more fun playing with most of the other characters in combat.
Yeah.
So, like, I try to spend as little time as Cloud as possible, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'll probably play more, like, tomorrow and Friday, and then go from there.
Yes. But I'll be back on maybe Saturday. Well, no, actually, because we got Jurassic Park on Saturday. I kept forgetting all week and was like, I might be on Saturday. Still might, depending on timing and stuff, but we'll see.
Yeah, that'll be in the evening, so, you know, there's always an afternoon if you wanted to play a little Final Fantasy.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on, recording and or editing, whatever needs to be recorded and or edited Saturday and Sunday.
Ah, that is fair. That is fair. But anything else either you guys want to talk about?
Nope.
No, I mean, Mario, March 10th, Mario Day, they announced the next Mario movie coming out in 2026.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, they did. Miyamoto got on Twitter, let everyone know, hey, it's Miyamoto. We have another Mario movie coming.
I mean, he didn't just go on Twitter, like, they posted a YouTube video.
No, but, there was, like, specifically a tweet that was the very, hey, it's Miyamoto. I'm here to let you know that we're going to be making another Mario Brothers movie.
That's basically what the movie, or the video on YouTube was, too. It was, like, a 3-minute video, and it's like, hey, it's me, Miyamoto, and, what was it? Illumination made the first one. Illumination did such a good job that, they're doing it again, and they've been hard at work, and so... You'll get it in, it's either like 2026 or 2027.
Yeah, it was 2026.
Yeah.
So, that's cool. I mean, that first one was good enough.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so that'll do it for this week. Next week, we will be watching and, well, talking about From Dusk Until Dawn for our next book club. So, that should be fun. But otherwise, if you'd like to find more of our content, you can head over to www.one-quest.com. You can also help us out by supporting us at patreon.com/onequest. If you can't support us there at your dollars, though, you can go to your favorite podcast platform, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, rate us, review us, and subscribe to us. All of it helps. You can find us on social media, facebook.com/onequestonline, or at @one_quest on Instagram and Twitter. Our YouTube channel is youtube.com/onequestvideo, and you can always send us emails to social@one-quest.com. And Rich, what is your streaming stuff?
Twitch.tv/V_one. It's video game streaming Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Sunday. You know, Final Fantasy VII. This upcoming Tuesday, the 19th, me and Timmy are returning to Teamwork Tuesdays every other week, and we will be playing A Way Out this upcoming Tuesday, so come check that out.
Oh, the prison game from the dude who said, fuck the Oscars.
Yes?
Yeah. The guy, the head of the studio that made that game at one of the game awards, he's like, no, this is the Oscars. Fuck the Oscars. It was very funny.
Yes. Fuck the Oscars. Also, just real quick, Oscar talk. Did you see that John Cena fully went full you can't see me mode in the Oscars?
I mean, yeah. Only everyone saw.
Yeah.
But the more important thing is, did you see Ryan Gosling perform the Ken song?
No, I didn't watch the Oscars.
You should watch the clip of Ryan Gosling performing the Ken song. He is in a hot pink, like, head-to-toe suit, and, like, it's a very good performance.
Nice.
Slash appears at one point to do guitar solos. Simu Liu from Shang-Chi reprises his role as a Ken.
Nice.
On stage with all the other, like, dancers and stuff like that. As Gosling is singing, he's like walking through the crowd, and a bunch of the people in the crowd know the words to the fucking song, and like it's all the people that are nominated for shit, and he's like handing them the microphone and letting them sing the words to the song.
You know that was planned.
I mean, it absolutely was, but you could also tell that everyone was super into it.
Yeah,
because like you watch the Oscars and you can tell when people are just doing the thing they were asked to do, and when they legitimately think something is funny.
Yeah,
and like. That people were very into that one.
Nice.
It's probably the only thing I saw from the Oscars that actually looked entertaining. And then it proceeded to not win Best Song.
Oh,
but yeah, that will do it for this week. We will be back next week with something else to talk about. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Yes. Bye.